Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in just a little bit, Giselle has responded to Tom Brady's retirement. And if you have ever had a separation or a breakup with a woman, you will certainly want to hear what her response is, because it's certainly a doozy. But let's talk about the Chiefs right now. Let's talk about Brett Veach and the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. I have given Brett Veach a lot of credit, because Brett Veach this year in the NFL draft called his shot. Brett Veach said that there was a 1,000-yard rusher in the draft and said that he was going to be one late in the draft. And they went out and found it. They went out and found Isaiah Pacheco, and Isaiah Pacheco turned into a guy that they could really rely and depend on late in the season.
The running back class this year, it's really crazy, because when you factor in that COVID year last year, and some of the guys that stayed in school, I've never seen such a large group of, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round running backs, and it's like the names go from the top of the ceiling down to the bottom. So there'll certainly be I told the guys, my prediction is there'll be a 1,000-yard rusher that is an undrafted free agent or seventh round pick, just by the sheer volume of numbers.
So that was Brett Veach calling a shot when it came to the running back room. He also called a shot when it came to the corners. Here's Chiefs general manager Brett Veach.
You know, we feel good in regards to what we have in Trent and Snead. Fenton's a guy that obviously we're high on and we're very confident in. I mean, he's going through a little bit of a rehab now, so hopefully we get him for the start of training camp. But I think from what we did at the end of the draft to the late round picks, I think we pulled the trigger there in the mid rounds, and then a couple late round corners plus Lonnie, I think we'll have a ton of competition now for those 3, 4, 5 spots.
Rob, I don't know if there was a bigger gamble on the roster than what they decided to do with the secondary. You could say it's trading Tyreek Hill, but you still had a first ballot Hall of Fame pass catcher, and you also have Patrick Mahomes. So you've got your legitimate one. You bring in MVS. You had Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't think anyone questioned if the passing game was going to be good or not. It was going to be, is it as dynamic, is it as explosive as it was in years past when you had Tyreek Hill? I know I was critical of it. I know I was very skeptical of it. They really went in full throttle with the youth movement at corner, at a time in which pass catchers are at an absolute premium right now. There has never been a time in the history of the league that there has been more of an emphasis on loading up on very explosive wide receivers. And the Chiefs, and it's not like they did it with a lot of high draft picks. It's a lot of fifth, sixth, seventh round guys that have been looked over, passed over in the National Football League draft, that they brought in here to play corner or safety, that have performed at a really high level. Think about it. It's a lot of small school guys. Joshua Williams, small school guy. Snead, small school guy. These are not a lot of Trent McDuffie types. Sure, you spent the first round pick kid out of Washington. He played well in the game, had 2 pass deflections and 6 tackles. This is a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, and a lot of guys that were not blue chip secondary prospects that are playing serious snaps for you and are key parts of their defense. There is not a place on their team where they took a bigger gamble than at corner. And Veach got it 100% right. Think about it. In their biggest game, not just the biggest game in terms of the magnitude and the stage of it, you're also going up against Ja'Marr Chase. You're also going up against T. Higgins. You're also going up against Tyler Boyd and Joe Burrow. Cincinnati might have the most weapons of any team in the National Football League. Rob, they had three rookie corners. They had a rookie safety and Brian Cook playing tremendous snaps in those games, and each one of them made a play, whether it was Brian Cook in the pass deflection, whether it was Joshua Williams getting an interception, Jalen Watson, an interception, a couple of pass breakups from Trent McDuffie. Other than the first, I would say, 15 minutes of the game where McDuffie clearly couldn't get his footing right and was slipping all across the field, McDuffie played really well. They took a major gamble with the youth on their secondary, and it paid off big this season.
This is the second time Brett Veach has renovated, re-energized, facelift, whatever term you want, an entire position group on the Chiefs, and he is 2-for-2. You'll remember after the Super Bowl, me and you said there were more reasons than not they lost the Bucs, but the prevailing thought was the O-line stunk. He went out and rebuilt it, and it was a young offensive line. It was going to be first-year guy Niang. It was going to be Joe Tooney, the veteran, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Orlando Brown, who hadn't played left tackle since college. It was a good offensive line. It's still a good offensive line. He checked that box. Last year, after their loss to the Bengals, including getting smoked in Cincinnati by Ja'Marr Chase, the tune of 200-plus, he came to the conclusion, my secondary is not good enough. And he went out and he totally rebuilt it. He sent Fenton away, who was the only veteran they had. They walked on Tre'Davious Ward. They walked on Tyrann Mathieu. And they said, nah, we're going to be fine. He has now done this twice. He has totally rebuilt a position group, and the Chiefs are better off for it. I know that I have my complaints with Veach, but he is now 2-for-2 on massive overhauls, and it's a sign of good things considering the salary cap situation the Chiefs are in.
Let me throw this out there for you. I know you're big on not giving guys big contracts and moving on from players. Legarius Sneed contract's going to be coming up here pretty soon. He's a guy that is in line to get a massive raise. He's a guy who has far outperformed the deal that he was under. He is under a four-year, $3.9 million contract. Now, next year, the money goes up, but it's $2.7 million. That's a steal for what you have with Legarius Sneed. Legarius Sneed is going to be a 27-year-old free agent. I don't know if he's going to be the guy that's looking to give that team deal when you ain't touched real money yet, if you were him. Does what we saw in the AFC Championship game, does that maybe change? Hey, Sneed's a great corner, but in the same vein of Tre'Davious Ward, we're willing to let him walk because we love our corners. Look, we can keep making Legarius Sneed. What they did with Sneed is not a fluke. You can't look at it as a fluke anymore. They've done it with Jalen Watson. They've done it with Joshua Williams. This has been they've done it with Tre'Davious Ward. This is a theme that they have. As good as Dayton Moore was in those mid-2010s at finding random bullpen guys and turning them into great players, that's what the Chiefs have done at corner. They've done this four or five times over the last three or four drafts, which is remarkable what they've been able to do. They have not spent any significant money on corner in the last 4 years, yet continue to get really good production from guys on their rookie deal. Whenever Sneed comes calling, and we know Sneed's going to come calling, and it's $16, $17 million, are you more inclined to let him walk because of what you just saw from Joshua Williams? Are you more inclined to let him walk because of what you have with McDuffie, what you have with Jalen Watson, and their belief that they'll be able to make another Legarius Sneed here whenever they need to draft another corner?
You didn't even mention Fenton, who was a good corner for this team in the Super Bowl year, who they found in the sixth round.
Yeah.
And eventually traded. I mean, he was good before they traded him. And to answer your question, if I'm looking into Brett Veach, I think he's going to walk on Sneed. I think I would walk on Sneed. I think the Chiefs have shown, hey, we can figure out a corner. Everything you laid out is 100% correct. They just keep finding diamonds in the rough, or they find Trent McDuffie and they jump ahead the Bills to make sure they get their guy. And to your point about Sneed, he'll be going into the contract in negotiation season. The same year will be coming off year two of Williams and Watson and McDuffie. They'll be all going into their third year, which means they'll all be playing another season or two before they need their contracts taken care of. I don't think you add three corners via the draft without thinking to yourself, we can walk on the corner we have in the next 2 years. So I think when L'Jarius Sneed eventually comes calling, it's like Charvarius Ward. Hey, you were great for us. We loved you. Enjoy your time here. Go get that money somewhere else. I think Sneed will go the Ward way and will not be a Chief long term.
Can I make one point here really quickly? And I know the text line, it's all unicorn and rainbows, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. I don't want to spend too much time dwelling in the negative. We shouldn't. But there's just one final thought I have from the game on Sunday that we haven't talked about. I didn't want to bring it up on Monday or Tuesday. There was no reason to bring it up on Monday or Tuesday, but it's Wednesday, and we still got time to break down the Super Bowl. The Chiefs cannot go into next season where they are dependent on the production and health of Kadarius Toney. They can't do it. If Kadarius Toney is their X factor, fine. I welcome it. But Kadarius Toney has been hurt three times this season. He's been hurt twice with Kansas City, and he was hurt with the New York Giants. He was injured last year. Kadarius Toney is a very productive player. He is not a player that you can count on his body holding up for 17, 18 weeks plus a playoff run. I think we have seen enough in his first 2 years in the NFL to come to that conclusion. This is not me saying that I don't think Kadarius Toney is a bad player. You could argue that Kadarius Toney, outside of Travis Kelce, is their most talented skill position player. We've seen it. I've seen enough. I understand the vision of the trade. I support the trade. You gave up nothing to get a player with that ability. That's great. But I know what we're going to do this offseason. We're going to start throwing these big numbers to Kadarius Toney and say that, hey, well, you can let Juju walk away because you've got Kadarius Toney. Or, well, there's no reason to bring MVS back. Look what they have with Kadarius Toney. You cannot go into next season with an expectation that Kadarius Toney is going to play in 14 games. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. It's not his fault, but he has gotten hurt two times since he's been here, and he's been here for 2 months. He's been here for 2 months, and he's been injured twice already. He was hurt when they got him. You got to expect the next season he's going to be hurt. He's a guy that can be your third or fourth option, but he is not dependable enough for him to be your number one or number two. If you want to talk about what the long-term effect of watching Sunday's game was, that might be very, very close to the top of the list. He cannot be a player next year that you were counting on to get any serious long-term production from. His body ain't going to hold up.
I did not like the trade when it happened, but when he's on the field, he's performed better than a third-round pick. I will credit him for that. But one of the main reasons I did not like the trade, and I was down on the Toney trade, was I felt like the general sentiment out of New York was, hey, he's talented, but he's never on the field. And it's great to be talented, but you're never on the field. It sounded a lot of Sammy Watkins part deux to me. And we've seen him. He's on the field. He is an incredible playmaker. He made the one-on-one play.
Explosive.
He's fantastic. The problem is we've seen him off the field too often, and we haven't seen him for a 17-game sample size. He's seen him get hurt against the Bengals. We've seen him hurt earlier this season, and he showed up hurt. I still am never going to like the trade. Maybe he'll be better than what a third-round wide receiver would look like in that moment. But if he can't be a 15, 16, 17-game guy, then you cannot rely on him to be that guy. So you have to continue to put people around him, and maybe he's Mecole Hardman part deux, and that's fine. But I don't know if a third-round pick's good enough for that. But we have plenty of time to be unicorns and rainbows.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that affects the team, so I don't know if you can be too mad. But he also got hurt during the game. And it ain't like we just randomly made this topic out of nowhere. He got hurt in the AFC Championship game, and they couldn't use him. I just know that's what third-round picks are later, and that's where you and I just value these picks differently. You got a super talented player with a third-round pick that everybody likes, super explosive. I like Kadarius Toney as a player. He is just not a guy that you can depend on to stay healthy and viable long-term. So next season, next offseason, when we are discussing what they should do, I just want us to keep that in mind, that Kadarius Toney at some point will get injured. He will get hurt. You have to prepare for it. Coming up on the other season, Giselle wrote Tom a note. Oh, you will want to hear what Giselle had to say. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 610 Sports Radio.
So as I'm sure you've heard by now, Tom Brady has decided to retire for the second time from the National Football League. Now, I believe that Tom is going to stay retired this time. A lot of people believe that Tom coming back to play the last time cost him his marriage, that he had a conversation with his wife and communicated that he was done playing football. He then went back on that promise, and Giselle left him. That's what a lot of people believe. Well, today, Tom Brady decided to wake up and record a video and just say goodbye to the game. Rob, we now have a statement from Tom Brady's ex-wife. The statement reads as follows. Quote, wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. That is the entire statement. That's it. She hates him. Hates his guts. This wasn't heartfelt. Wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. We have two kids together. We were married for a decade. This is a great thing for both of us. I'll be around more. I can pick the kids up from school. This is a great thing for us both. No, I'm wishing you wonderful things in your life, not our life. Not, I'm proud of you and what you accomplished. She hates his soul. Have you ever tried to go back to a relationship, Rob, and maybe you thought things were a little bit better than what you thought it was, and then you reached out and you realized how frigid the other person was towards you? When a woman loves you, she loves you, and she will put up with a lot of your foolishness. But when she's checked out mentally, you're dead to her. Tom is dead to Giselle. This man retired. She gave that man one sentence. She gave him one sentence for a decade, two kids, a great life that they had together. Tom, I know she was putting you through hell these last couple of years. Well, you know, I mean, I would like to take a nice vacation in August, but you have to go play football for the 19th consecutive year, babe. When are you going to come home? I'm almost done. It'll be our turn. We'll do these things, I promise. Giselle got tired of Tom making these empty promises. She gave Tom that ultimatum. Look, you either going to pick this family or you're going to pick the Bucks. And he chose losing to the Carolina Panthers over his marriage. And she said, no, you're cut off. I'm wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. She responded like Siri. She responded like a fortune cookie. You know when you open up the fortune cookie and it's like this profound 8 words. That's how she responded to her ex-husband. They might still technically be divorced or still together. They might technically still be married, and they're figuring out some of the legalities of it.
I don't know if the ink's dried yet, but you know what that reads like? You didn't retire for me, but you retired for that alleged Instagram influencer you're dating? No.
I'm telling you.
Good luck with her is what she meant to say, but her publicist was like, no, you can't say slights to her. Say something nice. And she's like, good luck in the next step. That's publicist speak for you retired for that girl, but not me. Screw you, Tom. So,
somebody said I put more emotion into a retirement card for a coworker. Someone else said she told Tom, have a nice life. That's what she told Tom. She told Tom, good luck to everything you have going on, is what she told Tom. This is cold-blooded. Tom's sitting there thinking, think about all the great nights we had. I know it didn't end well, but you don't remember the trip to Monaco that we took? You remember that night that we had in Paris when I proposed? Tom is thinking about all these great things. She's moved on. This is how you know Giselle's moved on. She ain't coming back. You're not getting your wife back if she sent this. If it was something a little bit more heartfelt, he maybe could have got his wife back. But wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter of your life? No. She gave you the absolute bare minimum. Bare minimum of this, Tom. You know what? I see why Tom was walking around the way he was for most of the season. I see why Tom pouted for 18 consecutive weeks. It all makes sense now, because he was going through the ringer in his private life. You know he was.
Yeah, but in Giselle's defense, a year ago, this time last year, he sent this emotional, heartfelt, I'm going to retire, and she was all on board, and they were a big, happy family, and he, like, 2 weeks later was like, nah, I want to play football again, which led to a rift in his personal life. Then 12 months later, she's supposed to be like, oh, finally, it's happened. Now I'm willing to go back with you. Their whole relationship unraveled, according to reports, because he went back to football. Of course, she's like, hey, good luck in the next chapter. Our marriage ended because this chapter came one book too late.
That man chose to play the New Orleans Saints over stay home with his family, man. What a life. Can I play this audio for you guys? And we'll get back to the Chiefs here momentarily, I promise. This is one of the craziest stories that we have had so far in this early calendar year. Listen to this.
Last Friday, we received an email from the mother of a player on the Churchland High School girls JV basketball team that an assistant coach on the team named Arlisha Boykins impersonated a 13-year-old player on the team that was out of town for a club basketball tournament. Here's video from that game. Churchland is in the black uniforms. Number one right there that just came up with the black block shot. We're told that is Arlisha Boykins. They were taking on Nansman River. This video has been edited to show you some of the highlights. Arlisha is apparently a 22-year-old young woman going up against 14 and 15-year-old girls. Now, we have confirmed that Boykins is no longer an employee of Portsmouth Public Schools. And since this game, the student athletes on the team and parents decided to just end the season. They will not be playing any more games this year. Portsmouth Public Schools did launch an investigation into this matter. The details have not been revealed by officials quite yet.
I know this isn't funny, and I'm trying to take this as serious as I can take it. This woman did all of this to play in a JV basketball game. A JV game. She didn't do this to play one final game of varsity basketball. You know, some of you think back to your athletic career and, man, playing varsity was great. You know, you played varsity at Blue Springs. You played football and basketball those Friday nights. A lot of fun. Those Tuesday rivalry games against Blue Springs South. You got great memory. You're still friends with a lot of your teammates back there. You would do anything to get to go back to suit up one more time for Rockhurst, Olathe East. You would do anything to suit up. Would you do that to play JV sports? She did all this, Rob, to play in front of 17 people. She did all this so she could hoop some freshman that's still learning the game. I would understand if she had done it for the varsity. I would have got it. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, you get a final chance to play big class high school basketball. All right, I get it. I get why you would do that. She did all this to play basketball at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what she did this for? It can't be worth it. It can't be worth it to do what she did for JV basketball. Rob, say it ain't so. Help me make sense of this. Can we make sense of this woman at 22 years old wanting to play JV basketball? Tell me this isn't the craziest story that we've talked about.
It's an insane story, and it's insane for like a lot of levels. Everything you laid out, like secondarily, I know that 21's pretty far in my rearview mirror now as I get older and older, but I'm trying to imagine 21 or 22-year-old me being told, hey, man, we need you to go hoop against some 14-year-olds to get us a win. I would have said no. Why? Why do you want me to play against 14-year-olds? What does anyone gain from this? And finally, they're actually showing the video right now on ESPN. All dozen people in the stands, no one noticed this adult woman is taking on 14-year-olds? They said the story, like 14 or 15-year-old. There's a dramatic difference.
She probably wasn't even hooping. You put me right now in a JV game, I'm scoring 27 points. I'm scoring 27 points.
I mean, strictly because we're both 6'2", 6'3", 6'4"?
I just don't understand you doing this to play JV basketball on Tuesday in front of 23 people. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. I get if you did this to play a big Friday. I mean, stands are packed. You know what? I just want one more moment in the sun. Now, you're taking this away from a 16, 17-year-old, but I would at least understand that. There's some justification to me on that. This is a justification. You did all this to play against Bishamier's JV team? I don't understand. I'll never understand.
Why were her teammates like, you know what? This is the path.
She wasn't even the best player on the team, probably.
That's the thing. It's like, if you're her teammate, I'm using teammate loosely, you had to figure, hey, we're going to get caught. This girl who's at the bar post-game because she's 22 is playing with 15-year-olds. We're going to get in trouble. I don't want to lose my season because Sally Q here wants to hoop on a Tuesday night.
You're telling me that she just couldn't have found a nice KC Crew rec league to go play basketball? There's probably more people at those games than a high school girls JV game. She couldn't just go play with some kids her own age. This story, it's crazy. This is a crazy story. All right, you know what? Speaking of games, we have a brand new edition of the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game. This is the scenario I'm going to propose. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl, but at the end of the game, Andy Reid announces that he is retiring, that he has won his 2 Super Bowls, and he just wants to ride off in the sunset against the Philadelphia Eagles. Or the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl, but Andy Reid is locked in for the next 15 years as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Which scenario would you rather take? We'll take your phone calls, 913-586-7610, and I'll give you my answer on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the D. Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You have 2 options in front of you. Which will you choose? It's time for another edition of the Carrington Hypothetical Button Game.
So I've been doing a lot of radio interviews in other cities. You know, the same way we have people on. You know, I go on other people's shows. And I've been asking a couple of these about Andy's status if they win. And I never really gave it much of a thought because I don't think Andy's retiring anytime soon. I think that Patrick Mahomes is really rejuvenated Andy Reid, that I think he's gonna go another decade strong. But doing these interviews gave me an idea for Carrington Hypothetical Button Game, and I just want to see where you guys are at. Here's option A. Chiefs win next week. When the game is over, Andy says it has been a great run, but you know what, I am in my mid-60s. I've won 2 Super Bowls. I've worked in this league since 1992. And I'm ready to step aside and do something else with my life. I feel very confident about where I am from a football perspective. And I've enjoyed every minute being your head coach. But I'm stepping down today, and the Chiefs then hire Matt Nagy, likely in that situation. I don't think that'd be a bad hire. I don't think it's the best hire, but I don't think it's a bad hire. Or the Chiefs lose next week, but it locks Andy in for the next 15 years. Which one would you pick? 913-586-7610. Rob, I think you got to take the Super Bowl here. I don't think they're in a bad spot if Matt Nagy takes over as the head coach. It's not as good as having Andy Reid, obviously, but you know what you still got? You got 27-year-old Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback of your team. And I will continue to take my shots with whomever is the head coach. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't need the greatest coaches to go to Super Bowl. Didn't he go to one with John Fox? Didn't he go to a Super Bowl with Jim Caldwell as his head coach? I think Pat would still be okay. You never know how many more of these opportunities you get. What you're always going to do, I'm always going to take the brand. If given this scenario, Rob, I would take the championship. I would take them winning the Super Bowl and Andy retiring if those are my 2 options.
Yeah, no, you're wrong. And here's my thought process on why. Because I think if you get the one and you lock it in, that's fine and dandy. Party on, Wayne. I don't think you're ever getting back with Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy was 34-33 with the Bears before getting run. And when he got run, it wasn't like a ton of jobs came calling and said, we want Matt Nagy. The only people that wanted him were Kansas City as a quarterback coach. Carrington, when you get fired as an NFL head coach, the fall from grace to quarterback coach is pretty rare. You usually land as a coordinator and you come bouncing back. I think while losing the Super Bowl would be absolutely heartbreaking, I think you give me 10 more years of Andy Reid, pair with Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to get at least one in those 10 years. Hell, the last 10 years of Andy Reid's tenure, which includes 5 years of Alex Smith, he's been in the Super Bowl 3 times. You're telling me he can't do that again in the next 10 years? Give me Andy. Give me Pat. I'll figure it out. You give me those 2 staples. You give me Belichick and Brady, but in the modern NFL, I'm going to more, and I will eventually get more. I don't need to lock in and be one and done because I have a hunch, I have a suspicion that Matt Nagy is never taking me to another one. And it will look like, and it'll be talked about, the way that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy are. Why didn't they utilize that talent better? No thanks. Don't want any part of that. Andy and Pat forever.
I don't think Matt Nagy is as bad of a head coach as it seems like you think that he is. And I'm not here really singing the praises of Matt Nagy, but he had a winning record. He took that Bears team to the postseason twice. The Bears just picked the wrong quarterback. Like, they really picked the wrong quarterback here. But for them to finish over 500 with Matt Nagy as a head coach and get to the postseason multiple times, I think should be commended. You and I agree that Matt Nagy will be a head coach again in the National Football League here at some point in the next 3 to 5 seasons. You always get another chance, especially if the first chance didn't end disastrously. It's not like things ended really bad in Chicago and we're hearing all these stories about Matt Nagy. Like, Matt Nagy will get the opportunity, I would say, next year if he wants to be the offensive coordinator, if not for the Chiefs because something happens. Like, we'll see what happens with Bieniemy. Maybe Bieniemy leaves. That means Matt Nagy then moves up to be the Chiefs OC, or he does this quarterback coach thing for another year. He then goes on to be somebody else's OC the way we saw with Mike Kafka, and then you get a chance to be a head coach. I think Mike Kafka could end up being Arizona's head coach, like, this season. I don't know who's going to take that job. It's a lot of problems with that job. It seems like you take somebody like Mike Kafka, you roll the dice a little bit, but you got to be willing to show a little bit of patience until Kyler Murray gets 100% healthy. I don't think that Matt Nagy is the worst option in that. I want to be clear. I don't think that Andy's retiring at the end of this. It's just a topic here, just a hypothetical. But I don't think they're in an awful spot if Matt Nagy ends up being the head coach of the team.
And that's why I called it Mike McCarthy's Packers. Mike McCarthy wasn't, you know, a bumbling idiot who went 2-14 and 4-12 every year with Aaron Rodgers. They won football games. They were in the playoffs. They hosted playoff games. They won NFC North titles. But when you're Aaron Rodgers, when you're Patrick Mahomes, when you're Tom Brady, when you're Peyton Manning, you're not judged by how many division titles and playoff appearances you get. You're judged by how many Super Bowl appearances and how many Super Bowl wins you have. And Aaron Rodgers has won. And in the playoffs, when everything is hypersensitive and hyper-focused, coaching mistakes are amplified to the highest level. And Mike McCarthy made them. That is what a Matt Nagy, Patrick Mahomes combination look like, in my opinion. You will win AFC West titles. That's great. You'll host playoff games. That's awesome. You'll probably win a few playoff games. Party on, Wayne. I do not know you are going back to Super Bowls. That is a higher level of need, higher level of a higher degree of difficulty. I don't know that Matt Nagy, who's 500, and we're commending him for that. 500 is the definition of mediocre.
Well, you had Mitch Trubisky. I don't feel like you're really factoring in the situation in Chicago and who we had at quarterback and who he was given with. I don't know how much better Matt Nagy was supposed to be if you had Daniel Jones 2.0 is your starting quarterback. It just seems like your ceiling is very, very limited if that's the case.
There have been coaches who have elevated bad quarterbacks, and Matt Nagy elevated him to mediocrity and then canned out of there.
Text line 913-586-7610. In this hypothetical, which one would you take? Would you rather take the Super Bowl when Andy retires at the end, or the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl and then Andy coaches for the next 15 years? Let us know on the text line, 913-586-7610. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll also talk about Tom Brady, who retired earlier today. We were talking about Chris Jones and what a contract extension for him could potentially look like. We had Mike Gennetti on the show here at the beginning of the playoffs. Here's what he said an extension could look like for Chris Jones.
He's approaching Aaron Donald territory, even mathematically, man. It's just pumping out the algorithm. I get him close to $29, $30 million per year. So we're talking somewhere in that 4-for-$120, you know, or 3-for-$120, $30 million a year type contract. That's what the math says. I'm not sure if that's something the Chiefs can do right now because they've got some team-friendly deals kind of spread around that roster. But that's just what the production looks like over the past two seasons for Chris Jones.
I was thinking back to the All Madden documentary. I don't know if you've seen it or not, Rob, but there was a quote in there from John Madden, and he said, I didn't believe that defensive players could win football games until I watched Lawrence Taylor, that he was the first defensive player that he saw that could have such an impact on the game that you can say the team won because of this one individual defensive player. And I was thinking a lot about Sunday's game and what we saw from Chris Jones. And I don't think Chris Jones is maybe the biggest reason why they won. I think they have the best quarterback in the league and maybe the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. I think Chris Jones might be number two, though. Like, the offense was not great in the second half. The offense scored 7 points up until that final drive and the field goal. There were multiple chances for Cincinnati to take the lead in that game and potentially win, and the defense held serve multiple times. That final drive, I'm sure there were a lot of nerves in Kansas City. Once the Chiefs made the decision to punt the ball on 4th and 8 and they gave it back to Cincinnati, there was a fear that Cincinnati and Joe Burrow were going to go down the field and score. There was a fear that this was going to happen. And who made the biggest defensive plays of the game late for that not to happen? It was Chris Jones. So to me, the conversation has now shifted from, well, are they going to pay him? Is he going to be on the team next year? I think we're past that. You're not trading a defensive player who just won you an AFC championship game. You're not trading a player who was just a first-team All-Pro, who seems to be the backbone of that defense, and is still under 30 years old. That is a player that you do everything in your power to keep. There's a player that you show how much you appreciate him and a willingness to work with him long-term. Rob, I believe that Chris Jones is a player that doesn't need to get every single dollar that's out there. Some players do. I think that Tyreek Hill was that kind of player. I think his contract is a big status symbol to him. Hey, I'm the highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League. I'm living in Miami. Look at the quality of life that I'm living. And that is perfectly fine if that's what you value. I think Chris Jones wants to be in Kansas City. I think the first contract negotiation, I think he was super flexible with the team. And I believe he'll be willing to be flexible again for the Chiefs here coming up in a couple of months. Now, he still has one more year left on his contract, but there's no guaranteed money left on that deal. Chris Jones is not playing next season with no guaranteed money. They're going to work out some kind of extension, or he's just not going to be on the team next year. I don't think that not being on the team next year is no longer a viable option. I 100% believe that Chris Jones will be on the team. It's just, what is the contract going to look like? How is that contract structured? How much money is that contract for him? I'm looking at a guy like Max Crosby's deal, and I think that's the contract that you kind of got to look at as a reasonable framework for a deal for Chris Jones. Max Crosby last offseason signed a 4-year, $94 million deal. Now, we'll see what the guaranteed money looks like. Max Crosby only got $53 million guaranteed, so I think you're going to have to put a little bit more of a guarantee on it. But I think that's the deal that if you're looking at as the Chiefs, 4 years, $94 million, you buy out the rest of the prime for Chris Jones, and you make it where he finishes the substantial amount of his career in Kansas City. I think that's a fair contract for both sides, a very fair contract for both sides. That's a contract that I would feel pretty good about if I'm the Chiefs and getting him to agree to, understanding that the salary cap is about to continue to go up and up. There's $16 million more in cap space here this upcoming offseason. And if you're Chris Jones, it keeps you on a good team. You didn't get every single dollar that was out there, but you got a pretty fair contract, and you continue to be one of the 10 highest paid defensive players in the National Football League. I think there's always going to have to be a little bit of give if you want to stay on the Chiefs because of what Mahomes' contract is and just the philosophy and culture that you've seen. But if you were in the ring-chasing business, I don't know if there's a better team to continue to be on than Kansas City, and you're making good money. It's not like we think you're underpaid, undervalued, and you're looking for that level of respect. This is your last really big payday. Why would you not want to get paid, which he's going to get paid in Kansas City, and not continue to give yourself a chance to win a ring and maybe put yourself in the Hall of Fame?
First and foremost, not 100% sold on the team next year. That's just my stance right now. We will have an offseason to talk about that, but I'm not at 100% he's on the roster next year. Just not 100%. Secondarily, to the actual contract, other than the fact that Chris Jones is a good dude and seems to enjoy Kansas City, why do you think he doesn't want the massive payday? Because generally speaking, people who turn down the massive payday once, they don't turn down the massive payday twice. And the first time they extended Chris Jones, while it was nice money, while it was generational money, while it was wealth in the NFL, it was not the wow deal. It was not the eye-popping, holy cow, can you believe that deal? I think that deal, after a 15-sack season and a dominant postseason performance, is on the horizon. Mike Gennetti, who runs through an algorithm, says he is at 29. You think that the Katz brothers don't know it's at 29? You don't think 29 is what the math says? I think he's coming to Brett Veach and he's saying, I love Kansas City. I love the winning. I love being here. It's everything I want. But the number starts at 29. I don't mind if Aaron Donald remains more, better paid than me. He's Aaron Donald. He's a freak. He trains with knives in the offseason. He's a lunatic. But I am not going to take a team-friendlier deal than 29. That's what the math says. That's what everyone says. I helped you guys out once in a pandemic, make the cap work, and everyone was happy. It's time for you to make my money work. It's time for you to show me the money. That's generally how athletes look at that second payday.
I just hate, and it's not a you thing. I think it's just how we talk about contracts, that we talk about like team-friendly deals and discounts. Like Chris Jones is making some significant sacrifice to continue to stay on the team. I say all the time, it's what you value most. I can't tell people what to value in free agency. It is obvious what Tyreek Hill valued. Tyreek Hill wanted to be the highest paid player at his position. I think that was the number one thing that he wanted, more than a team that can win, more than a good quarterback. He was willing to go to the Jets, bro. He was willing to go to the Jets. I think the number one thing is Tyreek Hill wanted to be the highest paid player. That was never going to happen. He got that. He got a four-year, $120 million contract, $25.5 million sign. The day you sign the deal, they give you $25.5 million, and you get $72.2 million guaranteed, and you get to live in Miami. You started to, you know how they always say, like, money brings out who you are? I think we saw who Tyreek is and who he wants to be. He wants to be Hollywood. He wants to do podcasts. He wants to hang out with super rich and famous people. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't believe that the person that I'm about to play this audio, I don't believe that's his number one priority. Everybody wants financial security. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to feel appreciated at their job. I just don't believe that this person, his number one objective is to be the highest paid defensive lineman.
You know, I let my emotions all bottle up throughout the week. There's a lot of talking going on. I'm not really much of a talker. It's a full circle, 360, man. These are moments I prepared for all offseason. I dedicated my offseason to this moment last year when I missed two sacks to end the game, and I put it up on myself. This game, we're going to end it up front. And that's what we did. We got a resilient group in our room. Start with the D-line, and these guys fought through all night, man.
The last thing you said to us when you walked off the podium here at Arrowhead was everybody enjoy Burrowhead. Did that motivate you all week?
Hey, let me tell y'all something, man. Don't ever, 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 and I'm looking at the camera when I say this, disrespect Arrowhead. I don't care how many times you done beat us. Don't ever disrespect Arrowhead Stadium. And G-E-H-A!
I just don't think that player is hell-bent on getting all the money that he can and leaving a great winning situation. I mean, for Chris Jones to be the highest paid defensive lineman, this is the contract he would have to beat. Myles Garrett is the highest paid defensive lineman. 5 years, $125 million. He got $100 million guaranteed. I don't think that's the contract that Chris Jones is signing this offseason with the team. So what's the number that you feel appreciated, that you're happy with, but also gives us the flexibility to continue to win championships and you can play in really important games at a high level? That comes at a cost. Tyreek wasn't willing to pay that. That's not a high priority for me. I've been there. I've done that. I want to live next to the beach. Well, they ain't got no beach in Kansas City. You ain't living next to the beach. You're not going to dinner on the ocean. And that's not where we live. If that's what you want to do, then this just isn't the place for you to be. I think that comes at a price that, sure, you're not going to get every single dollar that's available. But let's not make it seem like tomorrow, if they offered a Max Crosby's contract, like poor old Chris Jones. This is the contract I would offer him. 4 years, $94 million. Maybe you're willing to do four for 100 in that situation. And you just got to figure out how to make the guaranteed money work to keep him. He's one of the five highest paid defensive linemen in the National Football League. You have more showed him that you appreciate him, and you make sure that you buy out the remaining elite prime years of Chris Jones, and you continue to play for AFC championship games and give yourself a chance to win Super Bowls. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top story of the day in sports. Tom Brady has decided to call it quits, but will he stay gone? We'll discuss that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.